Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of June 6, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what candidates are saying on the 2020 campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. Over the last week, Democratic presidential candidates Senator Kamala Harris of California and Massachusetts Congressman Seth Moulton visited the state. Other candidates, including former Maryland Congressman John Delaney, Colorado Senator Michael Bennett, and New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also visited the state. But due to scheduling conflicts and some campaigns not adequately publicizing these events, we couldn't make it. Harris had an MSNBC town hall from Spartanburg on Tuesday, May 28th, and the following day she held events in Anderson and throughout Greenville. I caught up with her at the house of Susan Reardon in a neighborhood of hulking multi-million dollar mansions. The invite-only event brought out more than 50 women who are local leaders in business and their community. Harris descended the foyer staircase to address the diverse crowd of people.
Dramatic entrance.
Hi, everyone. Hi. What a wonderful introduction. Thank you.
That's why I became a lawyer. That's why I became a prosecutor. And as president of the United States, on this issue of women's access to reproductive health and choice, I am prepared to require the Department of Justice, under my leadership, the United States Department of Justice, to require that they review the laws passed by any state that has a history of passing laws to restrict a woman's access to reproductive health. And they must review those laws to determine the constitutionality. And until there is a clean bill that it passes constitutional muster, that law will not be allowed to take effect. I mean, thank God that we had President Obama who, as his first act, signed the Lilly Ledbetter Act. Remember that? Yes. Lilly Ledbetter, that incredible, you know, there's press here, badass woman, who pushed through and litigated, and therefore the act was named after her to say women have a right to sue on these issues. Well, I'm saying enough of that. Enough is enough. It's time to shift the burden away from that working woman and onto the big corporations. So instead of her having to prove she's not being paid as much as the guy who sits next to her doing the same work, it's now the burden is going to shift to the corporations to prove they are paying people the same amount of money for the same work.
The event brought out predominantly women, but Noah Fitzer was also standing in the crowd in the roomy luxury home. Fitzer got to speak with Harris after the event and was about to text out a photo of Harris to friends when I asked for a quick interview about what they talked about.
Well, I talked to her about how I am a non-binary transgender person, and she asked me what kind of issues she should be thinking about. And I suggested, I mean, we focus a lot on women's issues, women versus men, and I, of course, think that that is so important, but I would also like to add to the discussion the difficulties of gender nonconforming people and how there seems to be a pathway, whether it's more difficult, it certainly is more difficult for women, but that there's not really a pathway for gender nonconforming people to succeed in politics and in most aspects of life. So it's just a lot more difficult.
Adrienne Atkins was born and raised in Greenville and was one of several black women at the event in the Verde community near downtown Greenville. She likes Harris's clear-cut message on gun control and women's reproductive rights, but is still evaluating other candidates.
I think maybe what I might want to see, a woman and a person of color needs to be on the ticket somewhere. Black women are the backbone of the Democratic Party, and we are dependent upon to make sure that we bring the great leaders forth. And so I think that, as far as reciprocating, we definitely need to be honored and rewarded for our efforts to make sure that when we need to rescue people from being in position like Roy Moore and all the others, we need to make sure that we recognize the power of the African-American woman in the Democratic Party.
Seth Moulton is a third-term Massachusetts congressman, a Harvard graduate, and former Marine who served four tours in Iraq. Right now, the 40-year-old Moulton has 0% support in the polls and has not qualified for the first round of Democratic debates in late June and July. But he recently garnered national media attention by talking about his struggles with post-traumatic stress disorder and rolled out his mental health plan, predominantly geared towards veterans. He spoke to a small group of 10 people at the Carolina Western Bar in the Columbia Vista on May 29th during his veterans' mental health tour in several key early voting states.
Well, I think that one way to look at that dichotomy, this group of vets that are doing really well and this group of veterans that are homeless on the streets is because we just don't do a good enough job with the transition home. So either you come home and you transition successfully and you're off to the races and you're doing great things for America back at home, or you just fall off the wagon and you end up on the streets. So we need to deal with veteran homelessness, but it starts with just that basic transition home. One of the things I'm calling for as a detail, part of this plan, is that every veteran who comes back from a combat zone sees a mental health care professional within 2 weeks, whether you like it or not. And if you're fine, great, good to go. But if you're not, we're gonna start addressing it right away, long before you get to a point where you become homeless.
It was during the invasion, about 3 or 4 days into the war, we were heading north towards Baghdad. I'll never forget the sight of this car that had careened off into the ditch and the mother and the father who were clearly dead. But there was a baby, a 5-year-old boy, who had been thrown from the car and was lying in the middle of the road, and he was still alive. He was literally writhing in pain in the middle of the road. And at that moment, I made one of the toughest decisions I've ever made in my life, which was to keep going. Because we had to press the attack. We had enemy up ahead, and to stop there and take care of this boy would have endangered the lives of dozens, if not hundreds, of Marines. It would have stopped the entire battalion's advance. So for a long time after getting back from the war, I could barely get through a day without thinking about that boy lying in the middle of the road.
James Loftus doesn't follow politics that closely, and when I asked him whether he's interested in the Democratic 2020 primary, he says he doesn't associate with a party. After all, Loftus was really just waiting for Mullen to wrap up so he could set up for karaoke at the bar. But he himself is an Army reservist who did a year in Afghanistan and another year in Iraq. When he asked Mullen his question, I caught a pause and maybe even a tremble in his voice when asking about homeless veterans, something close to Loftus, who sees so much of it.
I asked a congressman how he planned to tackle one of the issues we have with veterans here in the United States and with the homeless situation and so many veterans, thousands and thousands of veterans that are homeless on the street. And I did like how he said, we have to tackle it from the root of the issue before they become homeless, and trying to make sure every veteran, when they come home, has to talk to a counselor within, 2 weeks of coming home. I thought that was pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, I've had to, seek counseling my own self for PTSD-related issues, and it's hard. It's really hard, especially as a reservist, to, spend an entire year in a way of life and expect to come home and think that life is just going to pick up the way that it was before. And that's just not the reality of the situation. When we go and we serve, life continues. And we kind of have to slowly come back home and reintegrate into that life that we once knew.
So we're taping this a week ahead of time due to some scheduling issues. And right now, the only candidate we're aware of coming to South Carolina next week is Senator Kamala Harris to speak at the South Carolina NAACP Freedom Fund Banquet. And that's taking place at Brooklyn Banquet and Conference Center in West Columbia on June 8th. You can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for more updates. And if you're with a campaign, holler at me with any upcoming details at gjackson@scetv.org. Watch these full speeches from Senator Harris and Representative Moulton, as well as others who have visited the state, on South Carolina ETV's YouTube page under the SC 2020 playlist. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just covering these candidates as they come through and as we can get to them. We're also out there trying to get you as much information so you can make your own decision in 2020. We'll bring you a mini-pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at @SCLeadPod and follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.